Kia ora, welcome to the panel, RNZ National, Cor Wallace Chapman, Tōhu Ingoa. Nice to be with you today. Now on today, New Zealand has temporarily suspended travellers from India. A lot of fallout on that issue. What are the legalities of it? Professor Al Gillespie, who is Professor of International Law on that particular issue. Also today, school students and other supporters took to the streets in their thousands in New Zealand's main centres to call for action against climate change. Izzy Cook is one of the organisers, joins us on the panel. And the call for a new government agency solely to deal with bullying and harassment at work. What do you think of that? Do you support an idea for a sole government agency to deal with harassment and bullying at work? And on the back of our Lego chat yesterday, we delved into what was known as the New Zealand Lego, West Coast made, very big in the 70s, and it was called Toro. Many of you got in touch with us remembering, had fond memories of playing with Toro. So get in touch, 2101 is the number to text. You can email me, thepanel@rnz.co.nz. With me today in our Christchurch studio, Moata Tamaira, Digital Library Web Content Lead, the Christchurch City Library, or Libraries, a mum and occasional blogger. Moata, kia ora, welcome to the program.
Kia ora, Wallace.
How are you?
Not too bad. Yep. It's a lovely day here in Christchurch.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, it's terrible here.
Oh, sorry.
But not at all. And look who has just arrived. He's just finished parking his car, so he'll be good on climate change. Ben Thomas, welcome, Ben.
I've been here the whole time.
And you got a car park for your SUV?
I just recently moved out of sunny and fashionable St. Mary's Bay in Auckland. And honestly, you know, all these little horse tracks, essentially. No off-street parking,
yep.
Right? And just these massive wagons, totally untouched by nature, soil, you know, just everywhere. It's horrible.
Well, I'm sure the good people of St. Mary's Bay will miss you. All right, so first to our Friday mailbag, and we had quite a bit of a response on many issues, so let's jump in. The gamification of your scanning app, we had Dr. Andrew Chen from the University of Auckland on this. So after 14 consecutive days of scanning or diary entries, users will be awarded with a little digital badge. It's like a digital chocolate fish, perhaps. Anyway, Colin said, the COVID app giving encouragement, i.e. a pat on the back for good use, is a good idea, but I think the term rewards and gamification gives the wrong idea. Recognition of doing the right thing always goes down well. Also, I leave the Bluetooth function on and would like similar feedback on the number of connections made. So it's just all about actually getting those numbers up and wider. How have you found people around you scanning, or where you go in Christchurch? Are they scanning, do you think?
Well, I scanned when I got here to the studio today. There was a very prominently placed code there. Unfortunately, my phone is like super old and has had a rather hard life. I'm one of those people who you open the app and then you're standing there very, very awkwardly for what seems like years before it opens up and you can scan it. I have to admit, I did go to lunch with some people earlier in the week and I was the only one to scan when we went to the place where we had lunch, and I had this little internal monologue. I was like, you should say something. Say something. No, I don't want to say something. Okay, but you're going to write their names in your entry.
Oh, good on you.
So if something happens, there's a record.
Yeah. What do you think about this? The idea, I guess, like Facebook and Twitter, of which you're a huge part of, Ben, where you get that little red alert saying, I have attention, I have feedback.
Let the COVID app dig its talons into your serotonin deposits along with every other app on your phone, yeah. Look, anything they can do to improve uptake is a good idea. Earlier in the year, you know, when we were having a COVID-safe summer or whatever, but before we had our little baby lockdowns in February, I sort of told people, well, look, I'm not scanning all the time. I'm probably about half and half. You know, sometimes it's a hassle. Then I actually went and looked at my app and I realized, and I hadn't scanned in anywhere since October. So I'm trying to lift my game now, and now I'm being very mindful about it, very conscious.
Creating that habit, as they say.
Yeah, my phone works very quickly, but I just like to stand there for a while so people know that I'm doing it.
It's all about the look, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah.
All right, we discussed banks phasing out cheques for a small percentage of the population. They are still essential. We discussed that. Now, Barry wrote in to say, in the mid-90s, I worked as a designer for the late John Britton, the engineer who designed a world record-setting motorbike. What a delight. He was dyslexic, so never wanted notes on drawings. But he told me one day how he had to take his car registration documents home so he could concentrate on each word. This banking scenario would have been a nightmare for him and others like John. I hate the end of checks. I've only just managed to get semi-reliable, i.e. slow broadband where I live, an hour north of Auckland. So the issue of checks came up. I don't know when the last time you wrote a check, Moata. Was it recently or was it many years ago?
I honestly couldn't tell you when the last time I wrote a cheque was. It's gone in the midst of time, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm not a cheque user, and I do everything with online banking pretty much these days. Even we have weekly takeaways at my mum's house with my auntie, and we usually pick up the takeaways and pay for them, and they don't give us money. They just sort of fling it into our bank account the next day sort of thing.
Oh, so, okay.
But yeah, there is a digital divide, and until that is dealt with, some people are going to get left out or slip through the cracks, and it is a real problem. I don't know what the solution is.
No, Ben, do you? I discovered a checkbook rifling through old archives from the late 90s. Go, wow! And I looked at it for a long time, going, "This is what they look like."
Yeah, my mother keeps, you know, the detritus of my and my brother's life, you know, as parents do, sort of archiving it. And one such artifact is a cheque, you know, from my ASB cheque account made out to my brother for $10 million or something. And when you sort of think about that, it honestly is amazing to me that we used to just sort of hand over a piece of paper, say, "Look, I'm good for it," you know. And sometimes there were extra security precautions, like you'd have to, you know, sign the back or something, or show them your ID, which didn't have a photo on it, or you know.
Because I can remember going as a student in Dunedin, and you'd go shopping, and you'd just hand a check over, and I said, "Do you want an ID?" "No, that's good."
That's right. I remember, you know, my first, I think the first time I lived with a girlfriend, you know, we had a little one-bedroom apartment or whatever. We probably didn't even have apartments back then. It was probably a sausage flat, you know. And every once a month we'd sit down and, you know, write the checks out to Telecom as it was then and, you know, post them off. And, you know, it did feel very adult. You know, but
I do miss a little bit that really satisfying feeling of tearing the check off and the perforated paper and it just kind of tearing nicely.
And mum and dad,
such a good feeling.
That's right. And mum and dad saying, "Don't forget to cross the check."
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're
non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable.
Put a line after the number so they can't put plus $20 million at the end.
That's right. What if BNZ is trying to screw you out of 3 cents that they could just write in there? That not negotiable, you know, the cross, that was sort of like the early equivalent of, you know, how our parents now will put on Facebook, you know, the I revoke all authority for Mark Zuckerberg to use my intellectual property or whatever.
Also, we talked about Lego Meccano yesterday. We're going to be talking about Toro later up. But Robert Kelly did a story of the day about the cachet of Lego right now. Someone says, Lego and Meccano, both great. I also had a product called Sio Montage, a sort of Meccano-type construction set, but with large plastic bolts and wooden components that could be made into different things. Errol in Dunedin says, construction toys, who remembers a Jiffy Joiner? Excellent wooden construction toy circa 1940s, comprising circular hubs with holes into which wooden rods could be fitted. What could be constructed was limited only by one's imagination. So I don't know.
Mainly a wheels with an axle?
Yes. Well, it was early on, late 40s, Jiffy Joiner. And Sierra,
it's a great name. Such a great name. I'm being very immature, sorry.
No, well, I'm not quite sure if the name would hold today, but that was back then. But Sio Montage, ring any bells there, Moata?
Not a single one.
No.
Sorry.
No. Yeah. Very good. All right. Robin Wellington, my last cheque was written in 2014, according to the stub in my fairly full chequebook. Time for I've Been Thinking. Moana, would you like to start?
Sure. I've been thinking recently, I mean, I am a librarian, so this is probably not terribly shocking, but I've been thinking about my reading journey. As a kid, I was a voracious reader, you know, one of the ones who'd like leave the light on after I was supposed to be asleep, reading Nancy Drew novels and stuff.
Nancy Drew novels, yes.
Yeah, Nancy Drew, but a Nancy Drew. And then after I had my son, I really, like, fell away from reading. It's almost like I didn't quite have, with all the tiredness, I didn't quite have the mental capacity to sit down with and read a whole book. And that took a couple of years to come back. But since then, I've really noticed that reading is quite good for my mental health, and specifically reading fiction. Non-fiction doesn't really do it, although I do read non-fiction as well. But there's something about sitting down and reading a story and it transporting you to a different time and place.
I love it.
Being in the head of a different character, and it just takes you away from all of the, it basically takes me out of my own brain and all those busy, busy thoughts that I'm having all the time about the stuff that I have to get done and the nature of the world, and there's so many things to be concerned about. But when I'm reading a piece of fiction, it's just a little oasis of calm and relaxation, and it's actually really good for me to do that regularly. It Fantastic. Just makes me a more chilled out person.
Just in terms of, can I ask you a question? You may or may not know, but as a librarian, there is a book, and I'm trying to think, am I imagining it? I can remember being in my bed with a torch and reading a book that absolutely captivated and frightened me. Was it called something like A Thorn in the Attic or Flowers in the Attic?
Oh, Flowers in the Attic.
That would have been pretty racy stuff back then.
Everybody at my high school, all of the girls that I knew had read those books, and my mum had them.
Who's Flowers in the Attic by?
Virginia Andrews. And they were so trashy. But you know, kind of great, but so trashy.
Riveting as a 12-year-old.
I mean, very. Oh, you know, like my life wasn't anything like what was going on in those books. But and there was a whole series of them, and I read all of them when I was a bit older, because my mum wouldn't let me read them when all of my friends were reading them, because they're a bit racy in places, and you know. They were a thing, definitely.
Well, in the Methodist pastors, I must have hit it well, because no one noticed. All right, time for I've Been Thinking, Ben Thomas.
Look, I was just going to complain about public service departments and the use of social media again. But actually, can I just switch it and talk about books as well? Because I've also been trying to really ramp up my reading this year, and it is so true that, you know, particularly with the kind of strobing demands on our attention that come from our phones, from the internet, and also the style of writing that's evolved on the internet, where, as you know, it's very oppositional, it's very adversarial. I've noticed, not just myself, but a lot of other people actually change how they write for the internet. So it's less kind of, you know, an essay, a journey, a discussion of things. And it's more like, here's my polemical point, which you'll either agree or disagree with, cue up the next bit of content. And I, you know, where books are really good and where things, you know, you used to be able to read these sort of 10,000 word articles in Harper's or The Atlantic or something that weren't really an argument. They were just sort of saying, well, there's this and this and you can consider that. And, you know, I have missed that.
Two absolutely fantastic I've Been Thinkings. Thank you so much, both. A lot of response coming through on that. Moata Tamaida and Ben Thomas with us this afternoon, Friday. Stay with us, 4 to 5, right here.